Would that we could say that if we stood before God after we've taken our final breath here on earth, we are unprofitable servants. We have done what we were obliged to do. I say that because in that is both humility about every one of our stations in life and at the same time an understanding of the mission, what we were obliged to do. There's a wonderful story that I always love, and people kind of ask me, is it really a true story? And I said, yep, well, as far as my reading and resources it is, there was a scientist right around the end of the 1800s who was part of a parochial college, that was run by the Methodists. And he was the head of the science department. And a bishop, a Methodist bishop, who sometimes are circuit riders, they go around to the various areas and institutions, much like I do, basically today, visiting various hospitals and visiting our institutions, was visiting this particular college. And he had a meeting with the head of the science department, this man. So the two of them sat down, and they were engaged in a conversation, and they were talking about the marvels of the age. How wonderful, steam engine, those things that are coming all about, one thing right after the other. Just amazing. They were embracing, you know, basically the moment of achievement. And then the scientist looked over at the bishop and he said, you know, Bishop, he said, someday I believe that man will be able to fly. The bishop pounded his hand on the table and said, no, it is impossible for man to fly. If God meant man to fly, he would have given him wings and we'd be flying around. Very sheepishly, the head of the science department kind of backed off. Here was his boss, you know, kind of going around. So backed off and said, well, you know, just speculation, just thinking about that. Well, that same science teacher went back and wrote it in his diary that he had met with the bishop. And that he informed him of this, and they had a dialogue, and the bishop roundly said no. He also went on to annotate it later. That bishop's name was Wright, and he had two children, Orville and Wilbur. For man, it is impossible. The bishop is right. But for God, nothing is impossible. And God comes into our minds and opens ourselves up to the greater possibilities. And here we are not talking about an achievement that the Lord is telling us to gain, some type of progress and material progress, but the Lord is telling us about faith because of the confrontation in this world of various things that faith confronts. We as Christians confront a sense that we have to be people of peace, but we know we encounter violence. You know, there's wars. We are people who were, as Christians, called to confront injustices. And we know that no matter it's seemingly how hard we struggle, the injustices still continue. As Christians, we are individuals who are confronted with poverty. And we know immediately that no matter how many soup kitchens we serve in, and it's really a wonderful, wonderful, virtuous, or how many outreaches we attempt to have, the poverty still continues. Jesus reminds us in the gospel, look, if you had faith the size of a mustard seed, you could tell that tree to be uprooted and be tossed into the sea. Talking about the power of faith in one's life. But that merges with Habakkuk in our second reading from Timothy. And that merges with it in the sense that it is not our time, it's God's time. And that's what happens with people of faith. You know, sometimes we as individuals, we slip into a particular mode, and that is, we're God. So when we do something, immediately it should respond to us, to our needs, to the way we see it, to the way we embrace it. Time and time again, we fail because we're not God. We're only God's instruments furthering God's will. We are God's instruments furthering God's will. Let me contextualize a little bit that passage that from the second reading. And that passage from basically is a second reading from St. Paul's letter to Timothy. Timothy's like a new bishop. And Paul is facing literally his death, his persecution, his death. So what does he do? He's writing this letter to Timothy to exhort him in terms of his faith. Think about our own lives. Think about the person that was closest to you. If you knew immediately that you were going to die, they gave you a sheet of paper, and they said, okay, write to the person that you love and tell them about what's important about this life and the vision that you have. Here, Paul is doing that for Timothy. He's talking in terms of how we have to maintain the faith, even in the face of persecution, and how important that is. And why is it important? Because of where we are ultimately going, where it is leading us, where this faith and our fulfillment of the mission here is leading us. It's leading us to lives of holiness. And here's a word we don't hear too often because we're so caught up in just this world. It's leading us to heaven. People of faith realize that what we spend, the moments we spend here on earth, are infinitesimal compared to the eternity we will spend with God. And so therefore, what Paul is exhorting, the saying is, hey, you've got this message, you're entrusted with this message. Guard this rich trust with the help of the Holy Spirit that dwells within. Guard it. Hold it forth and don't be afraid. Don't be afraid of those that would demean it. Good words for Timothy. Great words for us. Don't be afraid of your faith, even in the face of those who would demean it. Don't be afraid. As we know, each of us has particular missions in life. There's no one particular mission that suddenly is held up ahead of any other mission. You are given a unique mission and a unique role to fulfill. And what you do is with that gift of faith, you allow that Christ to be seen in and through who and the manner in which you are called in this world to serve him. But oftentimes what happens is, as I said, we get pulled away into our own wants, our own desires, rather than looking how we are instruments for God. But there's constant reminders by various aspects. I can remember one time being in one of those soup kitchens, those food pantries, and doling out food. I was there kind of taking it as the task. I was glad to be there, wonderful in terms of serving people and acknowledging, you know, that fact. And many people would come and say thank you. But one lady in particular, as I put the scoop of food onto her plate, and you could see she was very much a person of the streets, you know, a poor person. She said, thank you so much. And she looked at me and she said, you know, Father, she said, I'm so blessed. I'm so blessed. And as I walked away that and prayed that evening, said a prayer for her, said a prayer for those that were around as I walked back into the car and was driving back, I said to myself, how often do I fail to say how blessed I am? What tremendous gifts have been given to ourselves and bestowed upon ourselves in this world, and how we fail to acknowledge God's activity among us. And maybe part of it is because we're not opening our eyes to see God's activity in the world. This faith that's been given as gift, do I sometimes, like Jesus said, do I put the light under a bushel basket so it can't shine? When I really do open up and allow myself, not only does it have an effect on those that surround me, but it has an effect on myself also, allowing me to know that, yes, indeed, I am blessed. I am blessed. And it's wonderful that we are reminded constantly of those blessings by those sometimes who, in the vision of the world, have been denied what we would consider the more privileged aspects in our society. If you had the faith the size of a mustard seed, you would be able to say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and planted in the sea, and it would obey you. From that, the Lord goes into what seemingly is a disconnect. He starts talking about the servant who was called to serve the master and wait. If he fulfills his job, does the master come in and put him at the table and wait on him? No. Why? Because he's merely fulfilling his duty. As Christians, as individuals who have been given the gift of faith, we are called to fulfill our duty. And in fulfilling the mission, we grow in holiness. And the reward is being able to stand before God and being able to say, look, I'm an unprofitable servant. But what I have done, I completed what I was obliged to do in your name and for the sake of your love. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, amen.